just joy and energy shooting through your fingertips, okay? That's the difference between just kind of like doing it halfway and like truly being true to musical theater style, which is nothing about musical theater is halfway.
From Ben Franklin Studios in Queen Creek, Arizona, it's the Radio 201 Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to an edition of Radio 201, the podcast from my classroom, the computer lab at Benjamin Franklin High School. This is Angelo Fernando.
Bottom, top, opening up. Try to get rid of some of that breathiness. Ready?
Opening up into a new
Much of this podcast has been recorded in the Fine Arts Building. Mrs. Otero, our choir teacher here, is rehearsing for the musical theater event in the evening.
Here we go. Top, from the top, please.
Her classroom, if you may call this a classroom, is the auditorium and stage in this magnificent new facility here at our high school campus. So listen.
One, two, go.
Open it up.
Okay, I just have to say, I heard you in the hallway just walking in that back hallway, and I was like, who is that like Broadway cast sound album recording? Like, seriously, so good. I'm gonna be stopping fixing, okay? I'm gonna be going in and out of the house to kind of test levels and make sure that these area mics are picking up and all that good stuff. Okay, quick. Are we rehearsing with the menus? Okay, so let's walk through the logistics of these menus, okay?
A music concert has very complex, what's that word I heard you say? Logistics. You were talking of menus, basically the props for the scene from the musical The Waitress.
You know, I was at the rehearsal of The Waitress. Tell us about The Waitress.
Yeah, so that rehearsal in particular was with our fourth hour advanced women's chorale, and they were rehearsing a medley from the Broadway musical Waitress. For our quarter four concerts in choir, we kind of move away from the classic repertoire in the choir world. That's what we do most of the year, but for quarter four, we kind of revert to doing Broadway musical medleys. So each ensemble is assigned their own medley from a Broadway musical. Waitress is a relatively new musical, and it's actually written by the pop star Sarah Bareilles, and she's an extremely multi-talented, fantastic artist and songwriter. And the musical Waitress centers around the main character Jenna, who is a waitress in a pie shop sort of diner. And the story just kind of documents her life and her struggles and how she's always used the craft of baking pies to kind of distract herself from her worries and her struggles.
Now, I wanted to talk about Bye Bye Birdie, which was probably
right,
like a month ago, and that was a full-scale performance.
Right.
Now, to get back to The Waitress.
Like I was saying, how we revert to that musical theater style, a lot of these girls are, and choir students in general, not just this class, but kind of some of them forced out of their comfort zone a little bit in terms that we do choreography and blocking, and we're in costume, and kind of breaking that mold of just standing there on risers and singing.
And you sort of seem like you tweak things on the fly, and you still have this big picture of where you want
like,
to take them.
How many of you ever have a job?
So here's Mrs. Otero on stage again. And I'll play you a segment of how it went.
You like think of like the camaraderie you have with your coworkers, right? Where it's like, another day, right? Clocking in, right? So again, it's just kind of that tired, complaining sort of camaraderie, okay? More facials. Keep your eyes on that point. Nice. Go on. Lots of acting. You're exhausted. Good, Hannah. Yes, that's perfect.
A musical or a music concert like this has very complex moving parts. So my question is, how do you juggle all these moving parts of logistical pieces? I mean, there are the props, there are the lights, yes, there are the risers, there are the costumes.
Yeah, you're right. It is a lot of juggling. It is a lot of planning in advance. I rely heavily on help from students, like with the menus in particular, what you just mentioned. We just use some simple manila file folders as our quote-unquote menus, and just the simple logistic of where are we going to put the stack of them when we're not using them, where are we going to store them to hand them out when they're needed, that sort of thing. So you're right, tons of moving parts, and then you multiply that by 7 different ensembles that we have here, and it is a lot of logistics. So I'm in my 5th year of directing choir, and it gets easier and easier every year, you know. You just kind of learn to map those things out in advance, and it is a lot of work, and putting together Bye Bye Birdie, like you said, is a full-scale musical, which is even more logistics and so many months and months of work that go into that. But students are very helpful. I also have an amazing team of boosters, both in choir and the musical, who helped me out a whole lot with a lot of those things. Also Mrs. Bailey, who's kind of our choir director assistant. So it's a team effort for sure.
Okay, so I need to go back to the boosters, because I use the boosters in my class. I mean, they have been helping me at all kinds of things. Even this editing suite, the laptop was purchased through them.
Yeah.
But so I'll get back to that in a moment. But I wanted to also ask you about choreography, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where did you learn to do that?
Oh my goodness. I do not call myself a choreographer. In fact, myself personally, I am not a dancer by any means, and I am not a choreographer. some of the medleys, like some of the material in the waitress medley, I had a few student choreographers who were helping me with that, like a couple girls who were maybe in the dance program and have much more experience than I. The choreography is relatively simple. It's nothing that you would see, you know, like a full-scale dance concert or anything like that. Sometimes I will come up with certain choreography and I'll be like, okay, scratch that. That looks so bad. We are not doing that, because it's just really not my forte. But I just try to keep it as simple and clean as possible. Even though I'm not really a dancer or a choreographer, I am able to tell what looks clean and what looks unified. So if I get help from student choreographers, which I do, then from there I'm able to kind of see, okay, that doesn't look clean. We need to clean that. Let's fix that. Let's make sure we're all doing the same thing right there, you know, that sort of thing. But I'm definitely not a choreographer.
Okay, that's very, humble of you to say that. But, you know, I was in the audience in Bye Bye Birdie, and I've been to many musicals in my life. I
love
musicals.
Yeah.
And I felt like, wow, that was so well choreographed. It's such a huge cast. So if anyone's listening and you haven't watched or listened to Bye Bye Birdie, I would urge you to find a link to the video.
Hi girls, sorry I'm late. Now let's go for the Birdie song once more before we head down to the station. Remember the Conrad Birdie creed, dear. No smoking till you're 14. All right, now shall we try it?
We love you, Conrad. Oh yes we do. We love you, Conrad. And we'll
reach. Oh, little girls.
It's funny. Even in this musical, Albert, the lead character, is conducting a rehearsal, sort of, for a big event. If I may paraphrase the part of the plot, he is trying to stop his rock superstar, Elvis really, from being drafted. And he's setting the stage, literally, theater style, for Elvis, or in this case, Conrad Birdie, to be met with screaming fans.
But now let's get back to teaching.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do observations in school, so I use this as my observation as well. And I find that you are almost like what we call the flipped classroom, right? So the students are on the stage and you are in the audience,
right?
So it's almost like the reversal of the stage on the stage thing.
Yes, yes.
But it still seems to work, because they seem to be taking instructions from you, even though you're not in the lights, and you're responding to all those nuances of their singing. Do you always teach like this?
Not necessarily. When it gets closer to performance time, we do move to the stage. I'm not always teaching on the stage. For the majority of the semester, we're in our normal choir classroom, which in that scenario, it's more of a teacher-centered classroom. Because you're right, when we're on the stage, it is flipped. It's not. It's a student-centered classroom, not teacher-centered. As the performance gets closer, we just move to the stage just to get, you know, stage dress rehearsal time. When we're starting at the beginning of the quarter and the material is newer for the students, we're just getting familiar with it, you know, learning lyrics and harmonies and choreography and things like that. So it's a very kind of organic, creative process, though. And that's what I love about teaching fine arts is at a certain point, you hand it off to the students and it no longer becomes, you know, my material, but it's theirs, you know. And so that's kind of a fun flip that we start to experience probably about, I'd say, maybe 80% of the way through the quarter.
Okay, interesting, because, you know, the famous criticism is like classes are full of lectures and students are sitting at desks, but everywhere I go, it doesn't seem to be that way. Yeah.
We'll take a break and we'll be right back.
This is the Writing and Publishing Class.
And you're listening to
Radio 201
from the Computer Lab.
So now to get back to that last piece, the boosters.
Right. But no, boosters, I like to think of them as kind of, you know, they support anything that's a little bit extra or more kind of the cherry on top. For example, the little aprons that we had all the girls wear for the waitress medley. They do so much, though, in terms of concert logistics. Like, they handle all of the lobby kind of comings and goings. They kind of handle the lobby for me. They take orders for DVDs. They kind of act as ushers in handing out programs. They help snake the line around, you know, as parents are starting to arrive before we open the house. Like I said earlier, this is a true team effort. I could not do nearly the amount that I do without help. So,
okay. Yeah. Which makes me want to ask, you have been with the Benjamin Franklin schools, right?
Yes, right? I was.
So can you just take listeners back to how you got started and how you got into NAU and that part of it?
Yeah, so I attended Benjamin Franklin in 7th and 8th grade. And back then, before the high school campus existed, 7th and 8th grade was at the Power Campus. So I attended there from, let's see, when was I in 7th and 8th grade? 2006 to 2008 is when I was there. And back then when I came to 9th grade, that like I said, the high school didn't exist then. So I just went to, you know, and back then school choice at the high school 9 through 12 level was not nearly what it is today, even, you know, 10 or so years later. But yeah, I attended Ben Franklin. In fact, some of the teachers we still have at this school were my teachers. I had Mrs. Walters and I had Mrs. Keister, a few others that have since moved on. But my heart has always been tied to the Ben Franklin family. And I remember getting to the district school in 9th grade and just, it was academically truly a piece of cake. I was like, wow, is this really all we have to do for our assignments? You know, as far as rigor, I had been kind of trained in 7th and 8th grade in the Ben Franklin program with very high expectations academically and a high amount of rigor and just really quality education. So that more than set me up for success at the district school. From there, I attended NAU up in Flagstaff. It was such a fabulous experience. I treasure every single second of the 4 years that I had to attend NAU.
You shared something at opening ceremony, how it was highly stressful.
Definitely the most stressful 4 years of my life. Very involved program, very demanding program. But you know what? It truly prepared me for the rigor of this demanding job. Although it was stressful, I'm definitely very grateful for that training and that experience that I had at NAU.
Okay, I think with that, we'll bring this to a close.
I'm sorry, I wish we could keep talking.
Yeah, this would be a 30-minute podcast if we could go there. But thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for the opportunity. This was so fun to chat. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Radio 201. You can find more of these podcasts on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
And this is your host, Angelo Fernando, signing off. Oh, and by the way, if you stick around for another 2 minutes, you'll hear some great music from Bye Bye Birdie.
Oh, one more time, oh baby, one more time. It really is sublime. Oh, honey, so sublime. You know I need your love. Whoa, oh, 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 give me one last kiss, baby. Give me one last kiss, baby. Give me one last kiss. Oh, one more time, oh baby, one more time. It really is sublime. Oh honey, so sublime. You know I need your love. Whoa, oh, 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 give me one last kiss. Oh, one last kiss. Oh, give me one last kiss. It never felt like this.
Hi, girls. Sorry I'm late. Now, let's go for the birdie song once more before we head down to the station. Remember the Conrad Birdie Creed, dear. No smoking till you're 14. All right, now, shall we try it?
We love you, Conrad. Oh, yes, we do. We love you, Conrad. And we'll
Oh, little girls, you can sing with us if you want.